Welcome to a brand new episode of Ism Radio. I am your gracious host. I am Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We bumping that It's Time, the new Mink Slide single. You guys can check out the video. The link is below if you're looking live. Mink Slide, It's Time, going to be in stores on the 20th. And you guys can pre-order on iTunes and all that stuff on March 9th. Ladies and gentlemen, let me play a commercial because my sponsors be tripping. Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
True-noblest.com. Let's go. Hey, stay fit, stay motivated, stay focused. Quality over everything. True Noblest. If you're looking for a brand that's the dopest, something that you can rock, you'll look the coldest. T-shirts, beanies and hats, sweatshirts, even hoodies with a tank to match. You can wear it at the gym or when you run on the track. Need to check the website, yeah, I'm telling you facts. Hey, True Dash, Noblest, got you looking good, you know this. Take a picture, I mean right now. It ain't just a brand, baby, it's a lifestyle. Yeah, True Dash, Noblest, quality over everything.
All right, that's True Noblest, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is also brought to you by AshKicking.com. If you are ashy as hell, you need to get greased up, get the ash off your knuckles and your knees, go to AshKicking.com, ladies and gentlemen. Also, check out MelaninGeeks.com. That clothing line is for original fly clothing, and it's 100% from the imagination. That's MelaninGeeks.com. And also, you want to get your credit together, go to CreditScoreHeroes.com to get that credit in order for tax season. So now let me introduce my lovely female co-host right over here. They're both a little sickly right now.
Just a little bit.
We have
We ain't gonna get,
my brother in the
system. It's all good.
We got Bree over here. How are you, Bree?
I'm good. I'm coming off that cold, but I'm good. Hey, y'all.
Yes, indeed. And we got over here Miss Layla. How are you, Layla?
Hey, what's up? Coming off that flu. Yes, trying to downplay it, talking about a cold.
I ain't had no damn flu. Don't put
that on. Yeah, yes, you did.
Man. But we got a very special guest in the house, yes, man. We got my brother, man, one of the most thorough brothers in the game right now, who's taking the rap game, the hip-hop game, to another level, bringing integrity back to the game. This brother has the hottest album out right now. We got Mr. Nipsey Hussle in the house.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I feel good.
No, but first, I want to thank you, man. You've promoted my movies a lot. Social media, man. It just really got the word out, man. I really appreciate that, brother.
Nah, you put a lot of truth in them films, and, you know, I put a lot of my media onto it. Not even just because I respect what you're doing. I've been following you just because it was dope content, you know what I mean? So it was easy for me to blast off and try to turn people on to it.
No doubt. Yeah. So, man, let's go back, man. Let's go back. For people who are not familiar with Brother Nipsey Hussle, man, how did you get started in the rap game, and when did you first get started?
In the rap game. A couple people was really important in getting me exposed to the music industry. Steve Lobel, my homeboy Big U.
Yeah.
You know, a person by the name of John Shapiro.
Okay.
All three of them was kind of like the first group of individuals that introduced me to the music business.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, I was just selling mixtapes in my neighborhood. Just being an artist, buying equipment, having home studios.
Yeah.
You know, just doing the early groundwork, just trying to like get my music to my immediate community. Stapling posters up, you know what I mean? Just doing the old school grassroots.
Would you hit the swap meet and all that too?
All that, right? We used to drop off CDs at the liquor stores, you know what I mean? Do consignment and all that.
Yeah.
But just as far as, you know, getting me meetings with record labels, introducing me to executives, it was a collective of Steve Lobel, Big U, and John Shapiro.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in the 60s neighborhood, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Real good dudes, man. I fuck with the 60s heavy.
That's right.
Because I rolled with a lot of the East Coast cats.
Oh, all right.
So they y'all allies with those.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. The 60s looked out for me in the county back in the day.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Y'all know I had a pass.
Tell your story.
I got a colorful pass. You know that. I got secrets. But the 60s looked the fuck out for me. Some of the OGs, real good dudes. And they've always been on that money shit, getting that, you know, that money thing.
Yeah.
And I would watch videos of you when you were younger, man. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, back in the day, they would have a lot of the hood videos with cats talking about the gangs and whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of dudes be like, I got my gun, I'm putting in work. But you, as a young dude, you would be talking about the laws.
Right.
You were one of the first people to really break down the gang injunctions and all that.
Right.
Yeah. So what made you different? What made you kind of focus on more of what dudes can do to get up out the game as opposed to just promoting it without any kind of balance?
I was up close. I saw, like, the effects of it up close. You know what I mean? So it was never something that I felt would be honest to promote.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was really, really close to a lot of people that was affected negatively by, you know, our culture.
Yeah.
So at the same time, I was inside of it. So I empathized and understood from my own lifestyle and my own experience of, you know, how young people get brought into that life. You know, so I could never take a judgmental perspective on it. Yeah. But I also was like, it's almost a catch-22. Mm. You know what I mean? And You kind of stubborn to the outside world when you were part of that culture.
Yeah.
Because you like, y'all don't experience what we experience. Y'all don't understand what motivate the decision to bang and be involved. And once you start banging, a lot of people signed up for something that they didn't know how serious it was going to get.
Absolutely.
You know, being young and just being outside and it maturing into something that got serious.
And what do you think about people, because that's very heavy, people who kind of trivialize it, who are not from L.A., because a lot of people are from other cities and they think it's kind of a trend.
Right.
And then they come out here and it's a whole, you know.
Yeah. Man, I think the biggest difference to me is that, you know, we more so the effect. We not the cause.
Right.
Being from L.A. Mm-hmm. and, you know, being in an area that gangs have taken control of.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of just born into a culture that's it's not really something you decide to do on your own. It's something that goes on in your community already before you. It's already dead bodies on both sides of the tracks.
Yeah.
You know, as far as where your enemies are or whatever. And so I think the difference between out of town is just that it's more of a choice.
Yeah.
It's more something that, you know, it's not direct pressure being put on you. It's something that you might import. And that's not to take away from the individual credibility of people that's out of town being a part of that, but just overall, it's really, really a part of LA culture.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
How did you navigate out of it to not really get affected in the long term in a negative way? Because, you know, a lot of cats in the game, man, you know, they get killed or they get football years.
Yeah.
You know?
I was blessed, man, for real. Yeah. You know, I was in a lot of situations that it looked like I was about to get whooped in one of them ways.
Mm.
You know, dying or going to jail for a long time.
Mm.
But I always was passionate about music. I always had a big brother that was a good example and role model of a hustler.
Yeah.
And somebody that had integrity and just a strong backbone. So I wouldn't go too far left of, you know, just principles that I think kind of kept me safe.
Yeah.
Like I ain't believe in just the overly ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to defend your community and be a part of, like, holding down your area. It's another thing to just be abusing power.
Absolutely.
So, you know what I mean? It's a fine line. So I never was one of them dudes that'd be 20 deep with my homies, see somebody and just direct all of the force of the gang toward individual.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying? That wasn't right, how right. We was
mobbing on dudes like that.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
That always has negative repercussions. It comes back on you.
Even in the county, you spoke about the county. You know what I'm saying? It's principles you can live by that end up working for you in the long run because you know the energy you put out gonna come back.
You get a lot of respect from rival sets all over LA. Why do you think you get that certain level of respect where a lot of rappers, you know, they can't move like you move?
Right. I think it wasn't always like that. You know, when I first came in the game, I think just based on me saying 60s in my music and being vocal about where I came from, it turned a lot of people off of just L.A. That's a part of that from other tribes.
Yeah,
that was just turned off. I can't listen to that music. But over time, you know, demonstrations speak louder than conversation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. So people see how I'm moving and probably watch an interview. And I never dissed no hood in my music ever. You know, I never went on a record and said, fuck this hood, or, you know what I mean, use derogatory words that we say in our own area
Yeah.
publicly. I never done that because I knew that I was serious about music. And I wanted to be specific about where I came from, but I ain't want to disrespect the other sections as well.
Absolutely.
And outside of that, I just think that I also put forth who I was as a man, you know, in my music and in my way I move, and and also just in my interviews and everything, to where I think over time, people got to look past where my mama moved me.
Okay.
You know what I'm
okay.
saying? And, mm-hmm. and see like what type of human being I was.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
I got a big brother and a little sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know your dad is from Eritrea.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? Is it Eritrea or Eritrea?
It's like however you it's okay. really either one. Because okay. I was having this convo a couple days ago. Some people say Eritrea, some people say Eritrea.
Yeah.
It's based on like, you know, what part of the accent you lean toward.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of Eritrean immigrants that, who went to South Central LA.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You know, Tiffany Haddish, her people yeah. were Eritrean.
Yep. She wore a traditional outfit yeah. the other day.
Yeah.
And created a stir, man. Shout out to her.
And you went to Eritrea, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you went?
I was 18. Excuse me. I was 18. I turned 19 out there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so on my 19th birthday, I had been there for a month.
Oh, well, you out there for a minute.
Yeah, I stayed for 90 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, how was that, man?
I wasn't ready for it, for real.
Oh, damn.
I wasn't, but then it changed my life. Like, I was, you know how you are when you're 18.
Yeah.
You know the mentality you in. You know, I was in a spot. I was hustling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was really attached to all my material things I had accumulated. I was attached to my lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was just really focusing toward music also, like going toward the music thing. Mm-hmm. I had bought some equipment and was starting to record music. And, you know, I didn't really want to, I wanted to go because I never met none of my family.
Yeah.
So that was something I was passionate about, meeting my grandmother and my cousins, but I didn't want to stay for 90 days. I'm like, we can go out there for a week, 2 weeks, a month, but 90 days is a long time.
Mm.
But when I got there, I went through a process. I think I had like culture shock a little bit.
Yeah.
Not because I wasn't aware of my culture. My dad raised me on the food, you know, the music.
Yeah.
You know, he speak the language fluently. But just in terms of lifestyle and in terms of like, you know, I wasn't on no bougie shit. Like, I wasn't able to get in tune with the way of living. It was just completely different. A 24-hour cycle, what goes on,
yeah,
was completely different than what I was used to.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to like learn how to tap into it and you know, kind of catch the wave of being out there.
But you got to see a historical perspective of who you were.
That was deep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And one of the things I remember thinking was like, damn, how long people been in America on record? You know, they say, you know, 500-600. I don't know how to do the exact length, but it's all type of theories of what happened before that. But we know for sure that people been on in Africa for thousands and thousands and thousands of years.
Absolutely.
So I just thought about trial and error. When you're new to a place, it's a learning curve. But when you've been here for a while, any of the customs that's still going on, it must be some wisdom behind it.
Absolutely.
For it to still exist, for it not to have got weeded out. So all the things that was going on, I respected the way of living a little more because it wasn't new. It was like a mature custom.
So when you got back here, do you think that had a direct influence on the way you started thinking outside of the box when you got back?
100%. It was deeper than my surface level.
Yeah.
You know, because you get back home and you're going to get back on LA time.
Yeah.
Bottom line. You know what I'm saying? But I was aware. I had seen a place where, and it's no disrespect what I'm about to say, I'm just being honest, where like the family structure wasn't devastated.
Oh yeah, that's real shit. That ain't no disrespect.
It wasn't fucked up. And you could blame men, you could blame women, you could blame institutional, whatever, but out here it's just a different dynamic between our families and even the dynamic between men and women out here.
Yeah.
I was raised, you know, in LA, in South Central LA, and you know what the story is.
Oh yeah.
You know, my perspective of women was a little fucked up, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? And just my I didn't think it was, but when I went out there and I seen how different the dynamic was.
With the women and the men, how they interacted with each
And even me, after being out there a month, I was ready to kill behind my female homegirls. You better not play with them. You better not play with my cousins. I'll do something to you behind these women because just the confidence they had in supporting me and taking care of me just based on the customs, not because I was special, but just based on like, you know, it's like the way they I don't know, I don't want to sound misogynistic how I say this, but it was just like a mutual respect that made the relationship much different.
Absolutely, yeah. The culture just in Africa is totally different.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know that affected just. I'm like, this ain't right. Mm. How we getting down with each other? This ain't right. And who came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know who fucked it up, men or women, but it ain't right. However we got here,
right?
It's not how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
As opposed to thinking it's just how it go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. That was one of the things I remember noticing. Like, damn.
What if somebody will say, okay, you have that perspective on a certain level of respect for women, but your lyrics are misogynistic?
Yeah, yeah. I might be guilty of that at times.
Right.
You know,
right.
I would challenge them to listen to my more recent. Material, you know what I mean? You mature through your music, you
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? But, and I think music speaks to experience.
Mm.
So I've had experience with, you know, less than respectable relationships.
Absolutely.
And I had experience with good relationships.
Mm.
And so you'll hear both of my music if you really listen.
Mm. Yeah. And speaking of relationships, you got your queen there with you.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to
you. Lauren London's over here in the corner,
yeah,
trying to be looking cute, trying to be low key.
She said she had to come. I told her I was pulling up on her. She's like, no, I'm rolling. Fuck that. I'm coming.
I didn't blame you.
I said, I bet you Lauren come.
Yeah,
I don't blame you, girl.
That's right.
No doubt.
Roll with your man.
Yes, brother. So you've been in the LA game. Did the people from Death Row or anybody from Dre's camp ever try to holler at you?
Man, you know what's crazy, bro? Years ago, I was on Bryanhurst Avenue with 20 of my homies.
Mm.
And I used to be a block we hustled on as young kids in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a phone call. And I'm like, what's up? Who is this? He like, man, what's up? This is Angelo Sanders. I'm A&R at Aftermath Records.
Mm.
Like, I heard you got some dope music. Could you pull up on me? And I thought I was signing to Dr. Dre that day. I'm like, hell yeah, I pull up. Where you at? I'm coming. So I pulled up on it, you know what I mean? And I sat and played what became my first mixtape, Bullets Ain't Got No Names, Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of that music for him, and he was like, I feel what you're doing. I'm going to bring this to Dre.
Mm.
And so, you know, I start popping and telling my homies, man, we on. We about to be signing to Dre. It's cracking. And, you know, he called me back a month later like, yeah, you know, Dre's going to fall back. He's not going to make a move on it. And I'm just like, all right, all love. I appreciate you trying.
No doubt.
You know, I just didn't know if it was the music, if it was his history with my neighborhood, you know, between Death Row and then, you know, where I come from. I didn't know what the reason was, but yeah. I respected Angelo for being a bridge to getting to listen.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah,
that was cool.
And what's crazy is the people that produced my album that just came out, Victory Lap, Mike and Keys.
Yeah.
Years later, that was managed by Angelo.
Oh, wow.
And we ended up in the studio every day together, working side by side, and you know, it came full circle.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
What gave you the idea to do that infamous mixtape? How much did you charge, like $100? So how much was the mixtape?
$100. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of things, man. I was heavy. It was like a fork in the road for my career at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was people had been aware of me for enough time for them to say if he don't make or for the atmosphere to basically be, you know, is he gonna just be a name we've heard about and don't do nothing major on the next level, or is he gonna take it to another level?
'Cause right.
I think everybody knew I was capable of it. That had been aware of the music, but it just was a kind of a stagnation in my progress.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so there was like certain deals that was being offered, and I had done a deal early with Epic Records.
Mm.
Like I said, through Big U, Steve LoBell, and John Shapiro. And
now what year was this?
That was in 2007.
Okay.
2008, actually. 2008.
Okay. A decade ago. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure. And, you know, it went well. You know, I learned the whole process of, you know, breaking an artist.
Yeah.
Just from my own experience, you know, dropping mixtapes, getting my first song on the radio, first video on MTV, doing interviews for the first time, going on tour for the first time, opening up for Game. But we never put an album out.
Okay.
And then, you know, after a while, I asked the label to release me because they had a change of regime up there. They brought in a new staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just regular industry politics that I felt like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to, you know, execute on this label.
Yeah.
And I went back indie in 2010.
Okay.
And so from 2010 till 2013, when I dropped Crenshaw, I just dropped mixtapes and I toured. And we branded our apparel and clothing line, the Marathon Clothing, the Crenshaw stuff. We opened our store up. We just did a lot of, you know, administration and foundation work, as absolutely. Well as I continue to drop music, you know, bought a studio, just did a lot of indie foundation laying, the groundwork.
Now, what made you get so business-minded? Because you're one of the few people in the game that's really about different businesses.
Couple things. I saw who really became wealthy off music, and it was people that built enterprise around their music. You know what I'm saying? And then also, I had been in a situation where I just assumed that the business people was gonna run my business and I was gonna be an artist. And I, you know, nobody robbed me. Nobody did no bad business. It's just like letting other people raise your kids.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? They might eat and go to school, but it's the in-between stuff that it's gonna be different.
Yeah, because it's your job to be on top of your shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Because, you know, Jerry Heller used to say all the time, because people would accuse him of robbing the artists, and he would say, hey, look, they signed the contract.
That's a fact.
Yeah, show where I rob somebody.
That's a fact.
You know, and that's real shit.
And that's why I became real shrewd with negotiation, because no matter what, the negotiation process is when it's me against you. Once we sign a deal, we got a mutual interest, because we breaking bread together now. Until we sign, what's better for you is worse for me, and vice versa. So I always be weary of them friendly negotiation vibes, where it's like, come on, bro, bro, I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even want to get close to you. I don't even want to know you like that. You're going to affect my ability to tell you, hell no, fuck you. Let's do our negotiation honorable.
And that's how a lot of people fuck up in the black community.
100%.
Because they come around us hugging and kissing and all that. Hey, let's drink. Let's go party. Here's some hoes. That type of thing.
And it watered down how aggressive you are in the negotiation, because you start to feel like it's a us or a we thing. But until we agree on some terms, it's me against you. What's better for you, just by the nature of the negotiation, is worse for me. If you're getting 40% and I'm getting 60 and I'm trying to get 70, that mean you gonna get 30. That mean that you gonna get less money based on how shrewd I negotiate.
Yeah.
And we know what everybody operating off of, self-interest. Nobody ain't hustling for somebody else's pocket, period.
Absolutely.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
You, did you have a stake in World on Wheels?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to verify that.
Yeah, so I'm a fast forward. You know, I met a good dude, you know what I mean? That we became business partners. And his name, Dave Gross.
Okay.
And so he's a real estate developer. He came off Wall Street, but he grew up in South Central LA. He grew up on 51st in Vermont.
Okay.
And one of his little brothers recently got killed. He was from Inglewood. His other big brother doing a lot of time in jail. And he avoided, you know, just the LA pitfalls by ending up going to New York. From a family decision that was made when he was younger. And he went to New York, ended up going to Ivy League schools, graduated, went to work on Wall Street. But his heart, you know what I mean, in his spirit is in the hood of LA.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after he accumulated his worth, he was like, he wanted to do something, you know, just for what's going on. And long story short, we got together and we locked in and start to build. And so one of the things that, as well as my brother, Black Sam, he's involved in the venture too, but we started a company called SC Capital Ventures.
Okay.
And what it is it real estate development partnership.
Okay.
And so World on Wheels, somebody brought me the opportunity to invest. And, you know, I got with Dave, my brother, and we put together a fund. And we got a small percent. We got like 10% of World on Wheels.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Over 30 years. So we got 10% of the lease for 30 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, man. And
that's just important to LA.
It is.
So even outside of the business, I was proud to just be involved in bringing that back. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
LA needed World on Wheels.
Yes, we did.
100%. I didn't even know anything about it.
So. Yeah. It's doing well too, man. Beyonce came through, Jay came through.
Everybody. Oh yeah,
Fab being there a lot. I seen Drake come through the other day. So.
Oh yeah,
you saw me in there.
I seen, make sure we say that. You should have said that
put
first.
Put that out there. I'm there all the time. You know.
So you got the Marathon store that's popping off. Where's the Marathon store? That's on.
It's on the intersection of Crenshaw and Slauson.
Okay.
I don't
okay.
know if you know where that Quick and Split used to be.
Yeah, right.
In that little strip mall right there.
Right across from the chicken place. What's that chicken?
Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
next door to the Shell gas station.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We actually got the Marathon store. We got a cell phone store in that same parking space, in that same strip mall called Wireless Connection.
Oh, yeah.
We got a stock room that used to be our store originally, but we got a bigger one, and we just turned that one into the, you know, the warehouse with all the product.
Yeah.
And then we got a fish market called Baba Leo's. We about to open pretty soon.
Oh damn!
So we got 4 out of 7 of the spaces.
You know, with the Crenshaw brand, when did you guys start that?
Man, what's crazy, if you look at my first music video, Hustle in the House, we all got on Royal Blue crew necks with the Crenshaw font across it. And after that, we went on tour, and that video was getting a lot of attention, and everybody was asking me, man, where I get them shirts at, where I get them hoodies at? So my brother, just being a hustler, seeing that people was really, really, you know, trying to get their hands on it, and he started printing them up.
Yeah.
And it just evolved from there. I didn't want to make a Crenshaw clothing line.
Yeah.
Because I can't claim ownership over Crenshaw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that wouldn't be really true.
But didn't one of those shoe companies kind of take you guys' idea and made their own version of the shoes?
Well, yeah, recently Reebok, you know, did some unauthorized reproduction. Mm. You know, and I don't want to go too far into detail because it's a legal like we filed on them.
Oh yeah, good.
You know
what
I'm saying? And more so, they put Rich Rollin on the shoe. Mm, and you know as well as 16, I know, that's gang lingo. Yeah, again, I can't claim ownership over that.
Right.
You know, and even they ain't cut a check, they ain't do no paperwork, but the fact I would never even approve that on a shoe.
Mm.
This nigga's doing life in jail. You know what I mean? If we gonna sell something, we not putting Rich Rollin on it.
Yeah.
And that's you know, Reebok, no disrespect against Reebok, they're a legacy company, but you know, somebody should have been able to reach out and get the clearance, because I would have stopped it. No, we not putting that on the shoe.
Not on no shoe, because out here, they would arrest you back in the day for having on certain shoes out here.
Right.
They would say shoes are gang paraphernalia.
Right.
They used to sweep us up and say, hey, those Nikes you got on, or those blues you got on, that's gang paraphernalia.
You're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
Right.
So, yeah. So,
is it true, like, your next business venture is going to be documentary? You're doing a documentary, is that true?
Yeah, I'm working on one. We doing a collection of info on Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
You know, we just left his space today to get some old products.
Oh, but yeah.
Again, like when I seen your doc on Haiti,
it
made me think, why people don't know about it? It gotta be somebody agenda for us to not know about this story.
Yeah.
So when I found out about Sebi, and it's about his case that he beat in 1985.
Yeah, that AIDS case.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Why isn't that like the no disrespect, like Rosa Parks? We all know about Rosa Parks didn't get up from her seat. That's an honorable example of, you know, somebody from our history.
Yes, indeed.
Sebi going to court and proving that he cured AIDS?
Absolutely.
Come on, why we don't know about that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know.
And he just died mysteriously down there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you know how they play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, niggas just tweet me, Hustle, be careful, man. Your plane gonna go down. I say, you better ride for me.
Yeah,
nigga,
that's what I'm saying. Don't pray, ride for a nigga.
Yeah,
I tell them, But that's heavy. I want to work with you on that one.
I would love to.
Yes, indeed.
I would love to.
Yeah, there's a lot of people we need to holler at who was, you know, down with Brother Sebi, and who's on that herbal thing, who talk about how the pharmaceutical companies are real funny style about people with those natural cures. Them pharmaceutical companies, you'll end up with a brain aneurysm, or you done fell out a window by mosquito. Yeah.
All that.
Do out of a window.
Yeah.
Heart attack.
Yeah. A lot of folks who were on that natural cure thing wind up slipping on something and falling down.
Yeah.
A lot of them. So we got to chop up about that.
100%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You have something called Vector 90. What is that?
So that's again when I brought up Dave Gross.
Yeah.
We met random at a Laker game. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. But the convo we had, you know, it was a dope convo. And the next day I pulled up to his office and he showed me his concept for what became Vector 90.
Mm.
And it's two pronged. The first level is an inner city co-work incubator.
Right.
And so what that is, like, basically, if anybody familiar with WeWork, WeWork is this shared office space where you can go in there, rent office space.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Wi-Fi. They got all the technology, fax machine, whatever the, you know, office supplies is.
Yeah.
And then they have, you know, a shared kitchen space. And it's like you can get an office to do your work, and it's also a business synergy in there. You might run into somebody in the kitchen that does a business. And so it's a vibe they've created.
Yeah.
So his concept was to do that in inner cities.
Yeah.
You know, for two reasons, because number one, I let him describe his intention. I don't want to misquote the intention, but overall, the one we opened on February 15th, it's a 5,000 square foot inner city co-work incubator. And so this is, I think, about 8 office spaces.
Okay.
That local entrepreneurs, women, you know, young men from the area have rented an office set.
Okay.
And so, you know, one of them is a tech an app designer. She's a woman, a female app designer. She's working on a dating app. And another one is a you know, a mechanic. He was fixing cars out of his driveway.
Mm.
And basically the motto is that at the end of the year, Dave, myself, and the rest of the team, we're gonna invest every year into one of these companies.
Oh man.
And do they round day seeding, you know what I mean? And so that's the incubator part.
Oh yeah.
And then so the bottom level is a science, technology, engineering, and math center. And so basically the goal of that is to just create a pipeline between the inner cities and Silicon Valley and all the opportunities in tech.
Yeah.
And you gotta be skilled in STEM to even be, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, to even get considered for any of them companies.
Yeah.
If you don't have science, technology, engineering, and math proficiency, you ain't got no action.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so we boxed out. When we did the grand opening, you know, his team put stats on the walls. And it showed, for example, Facebook, how many black employees percentage-wise. Mm. They got the highest percentage, and it's 8%.
Wow, yeah.
And then from there, it dropped to 3%, 2%, 1%. Mm. And these is billion-dollar companies with thousands and hundreds of employees.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big problem.
It is a big problem, yeah. They bring in people from other countries over here to step us.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that, you know, when asked about it, they'll say, we know we have a lack of diversity issue, meaning there ain't enough black people, brown people in the buildings, but we don't have a workforce to pull.
Mm.
And so they like, we would love to fix that, but we gotta this is something you gotta catch early. You gotta train these young kids early so they could, you know, compete.
So
that's what Vector 90, and the other part of it is called Too Big to Fail. So Vector 90 is a for-profit model.
Okay.
You know, and Too Big to Fail is a not-for-profit model.
Oh, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
When is that fish place going to be popping? Because I'm hungry. I'm thinking about food. You said something about that fish.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be vegan for the month. Now I'm thinking about a damn
How's
fish sandwich.
Going?
I'm starving right now. I'm hungry as hell. Them vegetables don't fill you up.
Are you vegan?
I'm doing the vegan thing for a month.
I'm talking about Nip.
No, I'm not vegan. I mean, I've been working my way toward, you know, getting dairy out of my diet just because I study Sebi and I seen his science and I believe in it.
Yeah.
But I ain't had the discipline to kick the meat yet. I'm a skinny dude by nature, so I don't know how that's gonna work for me.
Yeah.
I can't. You know what I'm saying? I gotta stay here. You know.
Man, what happened? What was that thing? I saw an interview recently.
Oh, I already know what you're going to say.
Which one?
With academics?
Yeah, academics. What did he do this time? Everybody got some beef with academics.
I don't got beef with dude. Yeah. I'm going to call a spade, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I get personally offended by, bro, you got young kids that come from nothing, that change their family life, you know, that change their own life, that, you know, avoid death in jail through hip-hop. So I don't like people playing with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't like, you know, I had an issue with Complex that I was very vocal about because I felt they was taking a bougie approach to artists. And we don't, my thing is like, you know, number one, only your parents could put their hands on you, right? Because they raised you.
Right.
And they put the love in you. That's why only your parents, that's why you only respect an ass whooping from your mama or daddy.
Right. Because
they did shit to balance that. Fed you, clothed you, taught you right from wrong. So you're going to take the discipline and the critique. So for me, it's like, if you ain't come from hip hop culture, for real, if you don't come from where this thing started, if you don't come from the energy that created this thing and that people are drawn to this thing because of, be careful how you critique this thing, bro, because your opinion has not been validated.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
It hasn't been validated.
Mm.
So when I hear somebody, like, dude, you know, saying things like for example, they said recently that 21 Savage said that he stopped buying jewelry and that he gonna spend his money on investing. You know, that's a powerful message.
It is.
For
absolutely.
Somebody that people follow, and that's from a young generation. And academics criticized him and said, I don't want to hear nothing but killing and I'm about to kill the ops. And I don't want to hear that from 21-7. That shit right there gets you fucked up.
That's coon talk. That's coon talk.
And we supposed to fuck niggas up for that. Period.
Yeah.
We ain't supposed to be understanding. We supposed to catch you at Complex Con or wherever you at, and we supposed to spank you for that.
Yeah.
And you supposed to learn, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't supposed to do nothing you can't fix. Yeah. We ain't supposed to take the overboard. We supposed to fuck you up for that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to respect something, bro. Yeah. You ain't going to play with niggas like that. That ain't straight.
Do you think the internet has enabled little sucker shit? You know, from a,
of course. I think, and that's why I said in the interview, man, I ain't saying I'm going to do nothing to act. I say you got to let clowns be clowns and let dudes self-destruct because, you know, I've been paying attention to his message. And I ain't like it, but I respect how you eat, bro. Whatever you do to pay your bills, I can't knock you. But after a while, you getting out of control. You know what I'm saying? And then you got companies that add gas to them sparks.
Yes, indeed.
For their own interest. Yes, and then indeed. They sell advertising space. And I don't like that shit. I'm clear on what that motto is. You playing with niggas. You cooning, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you taking something that's serious and that, you know, people doing with integrity, and you spending it for some fuck shit.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with
you
that.
You know, people criticize Vibe for doing that back in the day.
For pumping up that West Coast, East Coast.
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying?
And you saw what happened with that bullshit.
Right.
Yeah,
and they was the, you know, I respect Quincy. I don't think he was the one doing the editorial side of that thing. I know he's a part of the ownership.
Yeah.
But they might have been the first person or the first place you heard East Coast, West Coast beef.
Yeah, they were the one. Nobody. That wasn't no real shit. Wasn't real.
I don't think Pac and Big came up with that.
No.
I think they spun that because they like, if it bleeds, it leads.
Absolutely.
And we know how fascinated people are with this type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like throwing hands and, you know, throwing rocks and hiding your hand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You ain't on the front line. That's what I was saying about instigating beefs and shit. We would fuck niggas up for that growing up.
Yeah.
You don't even say nothing about this unless you're going to jump in and get your hands dirty.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's a fact, bro. Mm-hmm. Niggas, it was so delicate in the back of them buildings. You better not say nothing, bro. Yeah. If you ain't going to fight, you ain't got nothing to say. When a nigga get socked, don't do none of that, bro.
All that world star bullshit. Niggas didn't do that out here. That's new fuck nigga shit. Filming motherfuckers fighting, that's corny to me.
Yeah,
yelling,
bro.
Yeah.
That shit, come on, man. But you said it, though. The internet has enabled it.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean we agree with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what other business, what's your ideal business venture? What would be something that would be your just baby project, your ultimate project as far as business?
Man, I want to get into tech, for real. Mm. I got ideas that I'm really passionate about, and it reminds me a lot how I used to look at hip-hop.
Yeah.
I ain't really see no route or no path how I was going to get involved, but I was like, I just really want to be a part of this.
Mm.
And I look at the tech thing and like, I know I could add value. Mm. You know, I got ideas, so that's something that I want to use my platform as an artist and as somebody that got music attention.
Yeah,
to you know, set the meetings up and have them convos and just do my due diligence and learn also. But I want to end up in tech. I look at it like this: I'm from LA.
Yeah,
Silicon Valley, an hour flight.
Okay,
mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We supposed to be involved.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And we grew up in a generation of, there was no computers at one time.
Yeah.
And then there was
computers.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? And I seen how me buying a computer, getting Pro Tools, changed my life.
Yeah.
And me learning how to engineer my own recordings impacted my life in a major way.
No doubt.
So, you know, I want to be involved in that.
No doubt. Speaking of hip hop in LA, what do you think about the LA hip hop scene now? The good and the bad?
I mean, I can't even describe the bad. I think it's good. I think that you really pay attention to who dropping classic albums.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Who rooted in hip hop but still is what's the word, like contemporary, like new?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or modern, whatever that is, what the word is, but it's still rooted in the fundamentals of what we grew up on. A lot of that's coming from the West.
Yeah.
You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying? A lot of that's coming. YG came with a classic album. Kendrick came with a classic album.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Victory Lap is an important album.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
Is.
And so I think I'm real proud. I think Schoolboy did really well. I think, you know, his impact, you know, coming from out the Hoovers and being able to become somebody that tore and had hit records and drop, you know, albums that did real numbers. And you know what I'm saying? That people really embraced his music, you know. Mustard, you know what I mean, was a hit maker.
Yeah.
Not just a West Coast regional producer. Mustard a hit maker.
Yes, he is.
Mustard gave pop artists their records. It was a moment, and not to say it's not still a moment, but I'm speaking specifically where you wanted to be on the radio, you pay Mustard a check.
Mm.
He from out of L.A., you know what I mean? His roots go back to the jungles and, you know, to the Blackstones.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's hard not to see what LA, you know, the footprint that LA has put on hip hop. And I think it's just growing. Even, man, TDE, Top Dog, coming out to Nickerson Gardens.
Yeah.
And being, you know, 11 Grammys for Pimp a Butterfly. And, you know what I'm saying? J-Rock being on his third album. You know what I'm saying? It's like I said, Schoolboy and Ab Soul and just what they built. I remember the early stages of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta salute what the West doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And speaking of LA, and you mentioned the jungle. I went to the jungle. You know, there's white people in the jungle.
Hell yeah, it is hella white people in the jungle.
It's white people in the jungle.
Yes.
And I'm like shocked.
Yeah.
Man, what do you think about the gentrification that's going on out here in LA, man?
I mean, it's a lot. I think about it for real. Yeah.
Where the hell are black people in LA now?
Lancaster.
Yeah, Lancaster. Palmdale. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You get a house for a couple hundred thousand, a four bedroom, five bedroom out there, and you see the crime going up. You see they moving. You know, it was like, I take it, I wasn't around for the last migration, but I heard it from my granny stories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on right now. They relocating our people.
Yeah, absolutely.
From policy. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And they building a train down Crenshaw. They spending $3 billion on that development.
Mm.
You know, and that's having an effect on the price of real estate.
Yes, it is. They always, when they want to move people around, they start building freeways and train stations. Mm. This is the Harbor Freeway. That's what fucked up South Central LA. That turned it into the hood when they built the Harbor Freeway.
Right.
Central Avenue used to be the shit.
Jazz and everything, right?
Yeah. That was the business district.
Right.
Yeah, the black business district. So, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
But, you know, not to cut you short.
No, go ahead, brother.
I think that it's always a silver lining in everything.
Mm.
And so I think that to benefit off of it, we got to be entrepreneurials.
Yes, we do.
I mean, in an entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
And we know that the impact these developments like Inglewood. I got a homeboy that he owned a house in the Carlton Square.
Mm.
You know, and he ain't sell it.
He's good.
He's Airbnb-ing it out.
Yeah.
And he like, Nip, I made $300,000 just off the stadium being built.
Absolutely.
Because I held my property and now I'm Airbnb-ing it and I'm charging $10,000 a month for when these, you know, NFL players come play these games.
Yeah.
This my location, he like, I plushed it out, you know what I mean? And so it's ways, and you gotta have your hands on some capital.
Absolutely.
But you know, you can team up, and if you aware of the opportunity, you can team up with people that do got capital and be involved in it.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, out here in LA, they're building a football stadium out here in Inglewood. And they're trying to price a lot of the black businesses out. So they need to start linking up so they can control the politics out here.
Yep.
Real heavy stuff. Brother, what else? What you got going on, man? The album is popping. What's your next move, brother? Musically, what's your next move?
Well, I'm going to support this album. I'm going to keep shooting videos off the album. I'm going to go on tour later this year, probably around summertime.
No doubt.
And then I'm going back in the studio.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. I'm really... You know, I've done a lot outside of music, and a lot of the stories, you know, have been, the $100 CD or the businesses, but, you know, I don't think I've really shown people what I could do musically yet.
Has anyone else ever done a $100 mixtape?
I don't think so.
Nah. I've never heard of that before you.
Nah, that was, I know
one. I'm about to drop a mixtape. Shit.
$100?
Shit, I'm going to charge $100.
That's right. Now, I think when we did it, it was new. It was the first. But I seen, you know, Eminem and Daft Punk had done similar campaigns after. I ain't saying they copied me, but,
right.
You know, I think I look at it like, man, it's just, it was a choice. One of the taglines, because it was called Proud to Pay, but the line was, it's by choice. It ain't by force.
Yeah.
You could go download it free.
Mm-hmm.
For real. It was free the whole time. You could pay $9 on iTunes.
Yeah.
You could stream it from one of the streaming sites, because everybody trained to different platforms. Like the kids, they gonna go on YouTube for their music.
You know
what I'm saying? They train to YouTube. Certain people go straight to iTunes. So I didn't wanna just remove it from everybody's reach, whatever they was trained to, but if you really fuck with me and you wanna support the movement and this is important to you, it's $100, it's signed. You know, you get a signed copy and you double down as a ticket to this concert.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's the next song you're going to do a video for? There's so many goddamn bangers on the album, man. I don't know how you choose which one is going to be a single.
I've been just watching the reaction.
Yeah.
I would love to do the dedication record with Kendrick.
Yes. Mm.
That's one of the ones everybody.
Lauren, what's your favorite song on the album?
Oh, I really love every song on the album.
Oh, I know. Don't
that's
say
political.
That.
That's political.
Don't be political. Which one you don't like?
No, I'm not gonna say that.
You can say it.
You can say it.
You can say it. It's all good.
I don't
you are.
Lead people that way.
No, we talking real talk.
It's your opinion. Everybody, ain't nobody gonna. And we had this convo I was in the radio station, and three radio DJs were like, man, I love the one she don't like.
No.
and Puff told me that was the one he would take off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, I be trying to understand why certain people like this record and certain people don't, but, you know.
What's the name of the one with T-Fly? That's the one I really, really like.
It's called Keys to the City 2.
Keys to the City 2. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah, T-Fly went crazy.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's your shit.
Yeah. Man.
Wait, do you still smoke? Or did you give a weed? I have to see.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, for sure. So you don't smoke at all?
Nah. Not at this moment. Nah.
Thank you for being honest.
I ain't gonna go on record and say that. I just not fucking with Treat ever.
Okay.
But just for the last, you know, I had a crazy promo and rollout campaign. The schedule was intense.
Mm.
And you know, we just slow me down a little bit, make me a little more relaxed. You know, my eyes be red on camera, you know, and then you got business people looking at your YouTubes and you know, a little bit of it's just a different energy that come across when you clearly sober.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that whatever opportunities exist in the world, you get all of them.
Absolutely.
You know, you might get 95%. Off the tree.
Yeah.
I want all of them right now.
How long you been off right now? How long you been doing the thing?
4-5 months, it seemed like.
Was that hard? You just cold turkey?
No, hell no. I try. Oh. I used to tell her every day, I ain't smoking weed today. Fuck that, I'm stopping. Okay. 8 o'clock hit.
Lauren, do you smoke?
Well,
okay, that means yes.
Well.
Because of him.
It's him, so the peer pressure. Yeah. That's what's up.
Not
that's
saying I won't, or I'm
yeah, be clear.
I feel you. How the baby's doing?
Oh, the baby's doing great, man. My daughter, my son, Lauren's son, everybody doing good.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Because y'all need to come over and babysit my goddamn kids. I mean,
nobody
want to
babysit
I know, my bad. I got three.
You got three of them. Yes. That's right.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, well, what's your website and Instagram, brother, so people can go rock with you?
Everything on the socials is Nipsey Hussle. My IG, my Twitter, NipseyHussle.
Yes, indeed. Man, family, y'all need to go to iTunes, go to Tidal.
Bingo.
All those places and get the album. Victory Lap. So what's it on the rap charts? It's what, number two? What is it now?
On the rap chart is number two. On the top 200 is number four. Well, it debuted number four.
So oh, wow.
It's been out the first week, it debuted number four.
Okay.
I think, you know, it dropped down after the weeks passed.
Yeah.
But you know, that was big. That's the first time I released an album. You know what I mean?
This is the first official album you've ever released.
Mixtapes, right?
Mixtapes, street records out the trunk, you know, mixtape websites and stuff like that.
Have any of your mixtapes charted or any of the singles charted?
They charted on like the rap chart.
Okay.
Never top 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Definitely never not top 5.
Okay.
Never on the top 200. Like on the rap charts, they made some noise at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
I didn't expect the mixtapes to perform on a commercial level. I expected them to perform on an artistic level and build fans.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this was the one that we was putting the pressure to perform on. And I learned a lot just with this release.
Yeah.
This is my first release with my new partners at Atlantic Records.
Okay.
So we did a partnership between All Money In and Atlantic Records for the next few releases of mine.
Oh, good.
And
good.
So, you know, we all learned each other with this one. I feel like, you know, everybody put their all into it and did a great job.
You think because you already had a good following, you were able to go to the table and negotiate a real good deal without these bullshit deals that they throw in?
100%.
Yeah.
And I was reluctant to even come to the table.
Mm.
So the convo started off with, look, we gonna talk partnerships or just, you know, I'm comfortable never being a household name.
Mm.
I'm comfortable never being the most famous artist in the world. I just wanna make shit I believe in and run my enterprise.
Absolutely.
You know, so we ended up coming to some terms that made sense for everybody. And I did believe that the music had the potential to be global and that the message was important, that should be on the highest platform. So I entertained the convo, and then we was able to come to something that made sense for both of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
What about movies, though? Like, I know you want to do the documentary, but any Hollywood?
You see who my girl is?
We need to see you on the screen.
Nah, I'm fucking with you. Nah,
together, together.
I got a film that I'm gonna be a part of called 38, and it's a dope concept. It's an urban crime story. It's about a gun, and it follows the narrative of the gun.
Damn.
Just how the gun went through all these different hands in L.A., and it's gonna be shot on location in L.A. And it's Academy Award winning director of photography. You know, the man that played Spider-Man, you know, the man that played James Brown, that's in, I don't want to butcher my guy's name.
Chadwick Boseman, yeah.
How you say his last name?
Is it Boseman?
Boseman.
Yeah, definitely. He killed Black Panther.
Yes, he did.
He's involved in it. You know, my guy from Menace is involved in it.
Tyron
Turner.
Hey, yeah, there you go. I hate when I say people's names.
I'm bad
bro.
With names,
so
too, brother.
So forgive me, my brothers. You know, yeah. So,
you know. Are you a natural actor, or is Lauren teaching you all the acting skills? Really? Yes.
She my critic though. She'd be like, okay. You did all right. You did
cool.
Good.
Really good, I'm watching.
Yeah. That's right.
Have you taken any classes?
Nah, I ain't never take no. I mean, I'm a fan of film. And yeah. I'm somebody that watch a lot of movies, but I ain't never took acting classes. No.
Lauren, do you teach him how to emote?
No, he has great. Now, acting is just about telling the truth, and he's not a good liar.
Good.
Your girl, no.
No doubt. Man, all right, we're going to get up out of here, man. But look, again, we got my man Nipsey Hussle, man. Y'all go get my brother's album right now. Tidal, you get it on iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. Make Victory Lap. I want this thing to get a Grammy.
This
has Grammy potential. When you listen to this, this is one of the only solid all the way through albums that's hot from top to bottom. None of that filler shit.
Right.
A lot of songs, you have two hot songs and the rest of some shit they done did on Fruity Loops.
Ain't
knocking.
Fruity Loops.
Yes.
Y'all be surprised. A lot of hits got made on
people
Fruity.
Yeah, 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 yeah. People still make. Yeah, yeah. The Fruity Loops got some. You can do some hot shit. It's
still
all about
to this day.
Yeah, but you know, some dudes who just using stock sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just making some bullshit. This is a solid damn record.
I appreciate that. No,
and again, we're gonna chop it up about that Dr. Sebi documentary.
Hey,
brother.
Listen, man. Your track record with documentaries is you batting 1,000 right
yes,
now.
Sir.
So you know that'll be something that I'd be honored to sit down and chop the idea up with you.
Yes, indeed. All right, we're about to be up out of here, Layla. Where can people find you?
Miss Layla Lopez, MSLAILOP.
Okay, oh Lord,
she's still sick, y'all.
Look, I was still sick.
You took his weed and smoked it. Damn. Okay, let's say it again.
Miss Layla Lopez. And on our Instagram, you had us acting a fool. I had to.
What did he do?
Nipsey.
What did he do?
Bree was crip walking on her Instagram.
Wait, so I was going to ask you to teach me how to crip walk, to sea walk, but then I killed Layla. Like,
oh, Lord.
I already know
how to do it. Y'all was battling each other?
Last time that I checked.
That's
going
right.
on Instagram.
That's right.
We
that's
was battling it right out, and yeah, I lost. And
that's she lost.
Right. And I'm from Atlanta.
That's right.
Bree, where can we find you?
I'm at... It's Bree Small, ITS, BRISMALL. Follow your girl.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Lauren, where can we find you online?
Lauren London on Instagram.
There you go.
She's so coy, Lauren London. I know where she at. Where her pretty ass.
No doubt. And look, you guys go to the Mink Slide video. Don't forget that. It's going to be released the 20th of March. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter, Tariq Nasheed. And I'm going to holla. Y'all have a good one. We will holla at you next week.
Yeah. Yes.